Oh, you're lucky, two videos in one day. I just felt like, man, I'm here. I'm getting ready to go home and see the family. I started the office at 9 o'clock this morning, but a guy wrote in to me. He's a newer officer. He had some questions about interdiction. They were really good questions. I think a lot of you guys can get value from it. And maybe it just helps you in general police work overall. I'm going to give him a call. We're going to have this question being posed. He doesn't want to say who he is, but it's okay, man. He's got you have to give this man credit, this young rookie officer credit for agreeing to step forward and doing the fucking right thing and making sure we can all learn from it. All right. We're in the group, right? It's going in the group. Cool. Making sure I'm not on my own personal Facebook Kurt talking like this. All right. Let's give him a call. He's not going to say his name, but it's going to be good shit. So kudos to him. These videos are good, man. Like doing these things.
Hello.
All right, man. You're good. You're live. Dude, I'm going to go through the question you posed to me and then we'll elaborate a little bit. Because it's hard for me to try to, like, you know, I don't want to pose hard questions to you. I want you to pose questions to me so everybody's watching can understand what's going on. Hey, Benito, I'm a young rookie officer, 5 months. I want to get out there and find that dope. My academy didn't teach me shit. Yeah, I know. We all know that, dude. It's just like anything else. I mean, you can go, like, until you're practical in the field, nobody knows what to do, man. That's in every profession. It's not the academy's fault. You know, it takes some time. I need more insight on what to do. I'm going to say where, mostly highways. So I stop a ton of cars, but honestly, whenever I find dope, I'm going to be lost because I'll start thinking about everything that I've done illegal. I don't want it to get tossed. I'm poor report writing. I want everything to be better, blah, 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 blah. So dude, tell me about I just kind of spoke about your problem, but tell me a little bit about it so other guys can understand so I can answer it. Like you obviously, when we had our conversation via Facebook Messenger, you told me that, you know, you work in a place where, are they enthusiastic about you making traffic stops and going out and making arrests?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay, so you're in the right place. You just need to get to the point where, you know, you're good. So you don't answer a lot of service calls. You guys are just pretty much proactive, correct?
Right.
So this is, I had the opportunity when I was employed with the police department that I was employed with have a lot of rookie officers. At one point, I convinced the captain of Radio Patrol Division to make sure everybody comes to my class. It was crucial if they wanted productive police officers on the road. And maybe if the 15 guys who were the new hires came, at least one or two would speak to and they would become effective and get it. And a lot of them would say, hey, man, I learned more in this 2 days of your training than I did in all 3 months of field training. There's guys who come to my class and in 18 years, I learned more in 2 days in your class than I did in 18 years on the job. But one thing I learned was guys were very impatient. And I look back to the times when I was new and it's the same thing, man. Your head spins. You don't know what to do. My advice, first of all, is to remain patient. I tell people this is a hard thing to do, is to go to work, set up shop where you think. Let's go over quite a few different principles. One, you have to understand what roadways you're working, where things are coming from, where things are going to. Like, what kind of road are you working? Like, where are you setting up shop? Tell me about the location.
We got about a 2 mile stretch and about 3 turnarounds, and that's about it. We got a little bit of residential area, but it's not much.
Now, the roadway that you're working, is it an interstate or is it a county road?
Yeah, interstate highway.
That's great, man. So you have an interstate highway system. We know that no matter where you are, county roads, interstate highway systems, anything like that, any high volume, like what kind of volume are you seeing with like the cars, like how many cars are you seeing an hour if you're sitting stationary in one spot? And you don't got to be accurate with that. Like, go ahead. Or, you know, how many cars a minute are you seeing?
I'm seeing a lot of traffic now, but now that I'm on it, it's nothing really. Maybe a semi every 15 minutes. But
oh, wow. You're that desolate. It's that rural where you are. You're only seeing one car every 15 minutes.
Yeah, it could be that way. But I try to sit there and think, you know, maybe that one car out of 10, that one car out of the 10 cars is the one I have to get. And I'm having trouble finding that one. You know,
I think your first issue is on night patrol is you don't have good volume for the ability. Look, are they there? Yeah, they are. But if you're getting one car every 15 minutes, which sounds like, I mean, that's really, really desolate. I mean, if you think about 15 minutes, it's a half a TV show, and one car is passing you. Do you think that? So I think that's one thing. Are you on permanent nights now?
I might be exaggerating a little bit. Yeah, you know, it could be a semi and maybe a couple cars. You know, it's nighttime and it's dead. Yeah, you know, that's just how our county is.
And when you say it's an interstate, you're not getting like coast to coast traffic or travelers. You think it's like, is it off the beaten path where people aren't using it on high volume?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it depends on what day it is and what the time is. I mean, that's just how it is around here.
Are you on permanent nights now?
Yes. Well, on weekends, on Sundays, I'll work a day shift. But besides that.
So on day shift, a lot more volume of cars, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Sundays are what they say is good ticket days.
All right. So, look, we want to get you from being Sunday being a ticket day to Sunday being lock people up day, right? So, all right. I mean, first of all, this is my advice. There's two trains of thoughts. If your department's requiring you to produce a ticket or two a day, and that's what they want, that's the mission statement, but they're also going to allow you to be proactive in other areas, go out, get your ticket done, and then get into police work. Okay? What I mean is, go out. If you got to get a ticket in, they want to see a ticket a day, get it done. Then now you become a police officer, not a guy who can write tickets. Then my advice to you is this. Stationary position on the highway where people can see you. And you got to know at what point, as cars are coming down the roadway or around a bend, you have to begin to understand. I would pick one spot to work that you think's a good spot, and that shouldn't be too hard. If you want to Google satellite me your spot and send it, I'll tell you what I think about where you should sit. Guys have been doing that. In my course, I show where I sit and why I did and all that stuff. You got to know where the point is when people spot you as a law enforcement officer. Are you going to mark patrol car?
Yes.
Okay, good. You should be able to see those reactions. Actually, your best way. Why is it doing that? Oh, yeah, I'll get that in a sec. That's just some weird noise my thing's making. I don't know why that happened. But your best bet is even to maybe throw your radar on your first day to just the pinpoint where people are seeing you, because you're going to see that radar drop dramatically when the guy coming down the highway who's flying.
Oh, yeah.
You'll know at that point when he saw you, and that's the spot where you got to pay attention to what's going on. You're going to see a lot of, sorry about that. You're going to see a lot of things happening at that junction. Now, dude, people are going to pass you at a high rate of speed. You have to employ the discipline to know that ticket writing is over, and who gives a shit about the guy going 27 over? It doesn't. You have to just know that your job, if you're trying to be do interdiction work, is not to worry about speeders. I can't tell you how many people sped past me and probably thought like, oh my God, I'm a dead man. You think that's from the computer? I can turn this off, dude. I can just shift it. Okay. I can't tell people sped past me and thought like, oh my God, I'm a dead man. And like, they were like, well, why didn't that cop come after me? Cause I have no interest in somebody doing 22 over the speed limit, because the guy who is trying to move whatever he's moving or engaging in criminal activity, they are hiding from you. They do not want to stick out, and I'm trying to get everybody to understand that. The other thing I'm going to tell you is, as you're sitting and watching, you have 2 miles of stretch. You're going to have to get really good with your motor vehicle law. So find a book at your police headquarters or barracks, whatever you have, and go into your motor vehicle law and read it. Take 5 pages a day, dude. I know it's very overwhelming to see 300 pages, but take a few pages a day, go through and be like, oh, cool. You can't be in the left lane of traffic without passing or overtaking a motor vehicle. You have to remain. And I know that your law is going to be the same to mine. How long before do you have to employ a signal to make a lane change? That's the other thing you're going to want to look at, and know that stuff very well. So this way, when they come past you, you know, you're seeing those things happen. Those are the subtle, which some people would consider to be small violations, but really they're the most important violations, because they're the ones you catch criminals with. It's not them speeding, driving erratically. You know, will you come across your DWI doing that, or DUI or OUI, wherever you are, whatever kind of UI or WI you call it. But dude, if I could advise you to do anything, I would tell you this. Go to that spot, sit, be patient, watch traffic. I would spend one Sunday saying to myself, you know, for the next 3 hours, I'm not going to stop a car. unless something really sticks out where it clicked in your mind that, holy good shit, holy shit, that was like, this is exactly what he talked about. If you just stay patient and vigilant and begin to watch traffic and not get excited for every flat brim hat that passes you or for every dude that looks like a criminal, because you're conditioned in your mind to believe what criminals look like. And that could help, but that could also hurt, dude. So you just have to try to really expand your mind and think, what would I be doing if I was a criminal if I spotted a cop? Whether you're a 67-year-old woman or a 22-year-old kid or a 17-year-old kid or whatever. And don't discount different types of vehicles like motorcycles, box trucks, taxi cabs, you name it. If you're working highway patrol, it can be carrying it. Cars with trailers, like maybe the guy's got four ATVs in the back and you think it looks normal. They're going mudding or something. Because I imagine with your Southern accent, uh-huh. you guys probably have people with ATVs where you're from. Am I correct in assuming that? So, you know, that's, you have to consider everybody, but you have to pay attention to their behavior when they see you, when they pass you, and after they pass you, what they're doing. You have to get familiar with the possibility of anything. There's a lot of people who understand trapped and hidden compartment motor vehicles, and that's a little more advanced. And my advice to you is this: stop focusing on tickets, start focusing on this, and make stops, dude. Like, after you begin to understand traffic and what's going on and what people are doing, like, if you have how many lanes on your highway? Cool. So as people come down the roadway and they're focused on, and they're doing, what's the speed limit there?
60.
So speed limit 60. The guy's coming down the roadway and you're running radar, which you can use that tool. Just don't use it to write tickets with. You use it to just pick out the people that you can't pick out because you can't judge speed from that far away. If the guy's doing 62 in a 60 and sees you, he's doing the left lane. And when he sees you, he moves over to the right lane and drops it down to 48. And when he passes you, he's erect. And or he seems nervous. He's 10 and 2. There's no eye contact or there's a slight look over. These are the cues that you've got to pay attention to. So until you can understand what they are and how they come, dude, let me tell you something. I'm giving you an example. They come in very, very different forms. Everybody's going to react a little differently, but there's going to be some kind of reaction to a presence when that happens. So
yeah,
when you begin to see these things is when you begin to become the cat and they become the mouse. And there's nobody that can defeat you. So that's really understanding what you need to look for. So my advice again is just have patience, get your mind out of tickets and sit and watch traffic. You will have some success. Dude, you have my cell phone number now. If you're on the side of the road and you want help, you can call me, right? I can't do this for 11,494 people in the groups. Sorry. I can't take phone calls all day long, but because you have me as an asset now, dude, I think that's my best advice. What other questions do you have?
I think what's really getting me is, like, you know, I come on shift and I'm like, okay, cool, I want to get into something. And then I start thinking about, okay, what if I actually do get into something? Because it's coming. It's going to come. I haven't had a good case yet. So it's just a matter of time. But when I get in that situation, I'm gonna start thinking about, or am I doing anything wrong? If when this goes to court, what's the defense attorney going to nail me on? Is everything in my report? Did I do everything in my report right?
So check this out, dude. So check this out. Like, one, do you have administrative support if you fuck up? Like, are they like, look, we know you're trying to do something good. We're not going to ding you, you know?
Well, what is it now?
If you go out and you're trying, but you screw something up and nothing crazy, but like, they're like, well, why'd you do it that way? Like, is your administration like, hey man, we know you're trying out there. Good job. You know, like, next time you'll learn from this time. Or is there like penalties if you mess up?
That's a little bit of both, I guess.
What was your field training like? Tickets, right? You're a highway town. Yeah. Your field training officer probably was big into, my guess is, what, a highway town. Dude, I've worked in all different jurisdictions. I've worked inner city. I've worked highway. I've worked suburban. I've worked it all. I've had field trainers in all different, I've worked in multiple departments. I know it. I'm guessing your FTO was deemed credible because he probably is a big ticket writer and brings in DWI arrests. And it gets his occasional marijuana arrest. Am I correct?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, was that pretty accurate, dude? I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but was that pretty accurate of what your field training experience was like?
Mm-hmm.
you're not sounding confident. You don't have to drive my point home. dude, but my point is this, is like, if you would have gone out with somebody who, in the, how long was your field training program? 12, 16 weeks?
I'd say about a couple months.
Okay. So 8 weeks of field training. You didn't go out with somebody who showed you exactly what to do. Do you have anybody in your agency that's actually hitting good quality arrests?
Our sergeant is here and there now. I mean, the person I was mostly with was just somebody that's only been at it for 2 years.
So you guys must have a high turnover rate where you are, or they were small agency?
They were just a small 5-man department.
Okay, right. So you got slim pickings, right? You can't really let somebody take somebody under your wing. You're going to have to learn from other channels, including being in this group. Has this group, how long have you been with Street Cop Training Group?
Since July.
Okay. Has it helped you enough? Has it helped you at all?
Oh, yeah. I've watched some videos, getting to learn a little bit about case law and everything. It interests me.
Cool. Tactics-wise, I'm going to try to emphasize that. Do you have other agencies, or are there a state agency that you can tag along with? Like, I don't say what state you're from, but I happen to know if you're from a certain state where they may have a football team that mimics the same color of poop. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I know that they have an interdiction unit out there because Sean Smart, who's a well-known interdiction officer from the Highway Patrol, maybe you could, like, I know you're new, but is it uncommon that somebody would go out and jump on and do some ride-alongs with an interdiction unit?
Oh yeah, by far. I'm sure the agency, you know, whatever agency we're working for now, that they would look down upon that.
Could you do it on your own, like, discreetly, or now? You're just too new with that.
Yeah, probably not.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm just trying to get food for thought, right? There's a female officer in this state that I'm friendly with, and she, again, having rookie problems, and I'm like, look, you got to go ride with somebody to really understand what's going on. Go, if you don't have that in your agency, go to the agency where the guy is or the girl is that's doing this stuff, and ride with them. Well, there's no better way to get exposed to this stuff than being with somebody. I mean, guys would leave my field training program as me as their field trainer, and they were killers, man. If I had somebody who was smart, I could make you a killer. In 12 weeks of riding with me, I could make you a killer. And you would be much further advanced than anybody else. And, you know, like, it was true. There's no denying it. I'm not tooting my own horn. It's just that I'm trying to emphasize that the exposure to being able to tag along with somebody that knows what the fuck they're doing is really paramount. And that's really the fastest way to learn. You know, there's only so much you can get out of this group. There's only so much you can get out of this conversation. And, you know, just continue to educate and be patient and just try, dude. I promise you. And if you're this new, begin. If you're having difficulty, try to pick out those cars. When you see the things like you said in our conversation, like when people light up a cigarette, find a reason to stop that car. Find out what they were nervous about. Have them step out of the car. And, dude, in your state, reach out to your channel. See how people are doing things. Watch. Are you part of the other groups like Trap Find and Sean Pardesi's group?
No.
Okay, so, dude, make sure that you, the people that we're affiliated with, you'll see posts for Sean Pardesi and TJ Cullen's group, Trap Find. Make sure that you're requesting to go into those groups, too. They're a wealth of knowledge. Sean Pardesi puts videos up every day. Watch how he's doing motor vehicle stops. Watch how he's talking to people. You're allowed to do that in your state. If you can't see it, what's up, Mark? If you can't see it, then, you know, in person, you can see it in his videos. Wealth, not guys, the top of the food chain. I mean, it just is what it is. The guy, Sean Pardesi, top of the food chain in air addiction. Just watch his videos. Go to his page. It's Triple I Solutions, Q&A with Triple I Solutions. You should be able to find it in our group somewhere if you scroll around a little bit. He'll approve you coming to his group. Dude, watch his videos. He's got a lot of good content. Watch his motor vehicle videos, motor vehicle stops. And that's the best way to learn. But to employ these tactics, you just have to follow the advice that we're giving you, dude. You know what I mean? Like, that's as far as I can get. What else do you need help with? You have to get confidence, man. You have to, the more knowledge you get, the more confident you'll be. You have to go out and try. Just go out and try, man. Go out and swing the bat. You're going to hit a fucking ball. Even if you foul tip it, it's something better than the next guy got that you did. And dude, let me tell you something. If you're trying, you're just going to have to deal with the fact that people are going to hate on you. Just the way it is. like, what's this guy think he's doing? What's he trying to be? And just let people know, man. Be humble about it. I'm just out here trying to get some good arrests, boys.
Right.
What else can I help you with? I mean, dude, it's your time, man. I will help you with anything I can.
When I get a bump, that's such, you know, something that's going to be a good case, hopefully. I want to know, which I know Mirandizing somebody is, you know, any time that they're going to self-incriminate themselves, right?
Well, so a motor vehicle, so when you talk about Miranda, let me just clear this up before we go on. Remember, a motor vehicle stop is not really considered custody like station house interrogation. A motor vehicle stop is considered more like an investigative detention, like a Terry stop, which doesn't hold the same weight as a station house style interview when you're asking questions on the side of the road. At the point where somebody becomes arrestable per se, but not actually physically handcuffed, where, so for example, you hold somebody over, maybe you smelled marijuana, you went into the car, and you found something that now makes them arrestable. You know, you found a dime bag of weed or a couple grams or a dub. At that point, if you're going to begin posing questions designed to elicit incriminating statements, you would have to read Miranda. So if you're going to start asking questions about more stuff, you're going to want to read Miranda because those statements can be suppressed. Doesn't mean anything else could. You're getting to the fruits of the poisonous tree, right? So if you start on with a bad seed, you're going to bear bad fruit. And that's what they mean by that. So, yeah. But don't be afraid to try these things, man. You have to just dig deep and say, fuck it, man. I'm going to go out here. I'm going to do this shit. I'm going to try it. But you just got to make sure the administration supports you and they understand what you're doing. And you're going to have, like, it's so paramount to have administrators that support this kind of work. They shouldn't be, you know, again, everybody has their mission statements, but ideally you don't want administrators to be negative and scared. You want them being enthusiastic and giving support to their guys. So,
right.
You got to gain some confidence in that, man. And just continue to educate and just say, fuck it. I'm going to go out and try. I'm just going to go out and try tonight. You just keep trying and trying and trying. And bro, you'll get good. I wasn't good. Like I wasn't good. I ran plates. I was just like everybody else. 16 plates at a green light. I had a red light, you know, trying to get it in, trying to see if I could find somebody with a $75 traffic warrant. You know, it's the same thing, man. You just start to learn there's more to it than that, you know,
and you learn from where I'm at career right now.
Yeah. So dude, like, the only difference is I didn't have the internet when I started. We didn't have it. Like, we had to, nobody was doing this kind of training in this state, you know? And if we went to a program given by large scale companies, I'm sitting in a room. I don't even know how to look for anybody or anything. And I'm watching guys pull 40 kilos out of a flatbed trailer. Like, the fuck am I going to, I need to know how to start doing shit. Like, I need to know at least how to find a bag of weed before I start pulling out 40 kilos out of a flatbed trailer. You know what I mean? So that's the paramount and the fundamentals of, I'll see you guys. The fundamentals of why the training that I provide is created is so good, because it's the foundational piece, man. It gives you some place to start. You don't have to employ the tactics that I give you, but it gives you some food for thought on where to start. And that's the point, because it's hard. You know, you're going to classes and like you're watching these videos of guys getting all this big shit and like, you don't even know how to get anything yet. So dude, if you keep trying and you keep making a good amount of stops a day and you start picking on better cars, you know, and when I say better cars, like ones that are going to display these characteristics of good criminal vehicles, occupant combinations, all that stuff and reactions and all that jazz, it's going to pay off, dude. You just got to start. Even if you miss it 10 times, on the 11th time, you're going to figure out what you did wrong the first 10. You're going to grab it. And you just got to get comfortable with stuff. You got to get comfortable. You got to get your confidence up. I always told guys when they were new to the police department, like, this is the same thing in every field. You know, like I mentioned before, I run a real estate team here and we have new realtors and they pose questions to me about when do I think they'll be good realtors. And it goes back to the same way I felt about police work. If you have the talent and the brains to be a good cop, and not everybody does, because if they would, then you'd have great cops everywhere, which is unfortunate. That's DNA, right? It's just DNA. There's nothing you can do. Like, if you have the talent and the want and the drive to be a good cop and you have administrative support and all the channels are right for you, about 9 months on the job post-academy, you should start feeling a little more comfortable with paperwork. At about 3 years of really good trying, you should be a pretty confident police officer. You should be pretty proficient. At about 5 years, you should feel like you're the man and, you know, you're really beginning to, like, become a master of this job. And at 10 years, I wouldn't even say 10, I would say probably like 8 years, because 10 years, if you're really hammering down hard, going on, putting a lot of work and a lot of effort, you should be like the Yoda of police work at your department. You may not know everything, but the one realm you'll be in, and that's for any division. If you're going to be the accident reconstruction guy or the detective or this, in due time, you'll become the best of the best, dude. I mean, when I started, this thing's doing it again. In real estate, for example, I mean, I came from being a cop and being very proficient at being a police officer into a real estate realm where I knew that I wasn't going to be super successful in the beginning. And, you know, like, I knew that there was time and I just knew I had to be patient with it. But I kept swinging. My first three real estate deals fell apart, dude. And everything the guy I was working for was like, he's like, are you going to quit now? I'm like, quit, bro. I teach people to not quit. You think I'm going to quit real estate? And my response to him was, yo, is that your fucking Bentley outside? And he said, yeah. I go, well, then I ain't quitting, bro. And you did this from real estate? He goes, yeah, well, I ain't quitting, brother. And dude, I could tell you, several years later, this is not me. I'm just saying it's the same thing translate to a different field. I'm one of the top just 200 realtors at this real estate company that where my office sits. And I'm the top five realtors out of 200 people, you know? And there's a reason, because I know the mentality behind what I'm talking about, right? So it's the same thing. It translates to every field the same way. You must try, have patience. Don't get frustrated. Have confidence. It doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter. You're going to fall flat on your fucking face, but it means you're going to stand up and get back up, keep swinging. Life is not about how many times you get punched in the face, how many times you get up and keep fucking swinging. So, dude, don't get defeated. Get your mind off of tickets. Focus. If you got to write a ticket and they want to see productivity, like, then so be it. But maybe you want to translate to your bosses like, hey, man, I'm going to try. You don't want to say like, hey, I'm going to be the fucking guy that's going to change the things here at this police department. You want to say, I'm going to try to go out. You know, you don't want to be that guy and declare that you're going to be the fucking best cop on earth. Because maybe you won't be the fucking best cop on earth. I know guys who have tried to do this stuff and they just don't get it. And that's fine, man. But most people who go out and take swings and try to do this stuff will get it. It will click. It will happen. I've had a lot of great success. I had guys 9 days after class, I don't get it. And day 14, they write me back. They're like, dude, I got it. I fucking got it. I'm getting drug arrest. Day 74, they're calling me. They're like, yo, I'm going to my narcotics task force. They cannot believe how much drugs I pulled off the street. So it's patience, dude. I mean, how old are you?
21.
You're a young dude, man. 21 is a tough age to be a cop. Like, that doesn't mean you can't do it, but you just have patience. Act mature, you know, don't act childish. Don't get caught up in bullshit. And at the police department, you know, in your personal life, be a jerk off, who cares? But, you know, at the police department, man, conduct yourself professionally and go out and try. Man, at 21, by the time you're 30, you should be the fucking chief of police. I don't know if that's going to be the case, but my point is, you know, man, focus on being the focus. If you really think interdiction is going to be your thing and you just love the idea of going out and getting quality arrests it's a really exciting, once you get good at this, it's a very exciting thing, man. I miss the game. I don't miss a lot of the things with the job, but I miss the game, because once you get good at it, brother, it is exciting and it just gets better and better. So, dude, I bet you if you keep going out and trying to listen to the advice I gave you today, you're going to get something. Even if it's small, it's bigger than the last thing you got. You know, your next step doesn't have to be your final step. It just has to be the next step better than your last step. You know what I'm saying? So, dude, try the tactics. What else can I help you with?
I got a couple more things for you.
Okay, good.
One thing that's kind of hurt me right now is our department, we don't get any calls at all. And I'm not going to stay here for my whole career. And what's getting me is, you know, when that opportunity comes to advance and go somewhere else, I'm going to get a call or something like that. I'm not going to have to know what the hell to do, because we don't get my calls. Maybe an alarm drop or something every now and then, but besides that, nothing.
Bro, I went from a police department that was proactive, pretty much all proactive for the most part, in Washington, D.C. It was an all proactive federal agency, U.S. Park Police. I mean, like, literally, it was a strictly calls it for the birds. Yeah, Sam, calls it for the birds until you, because you've had them forever. And then I went to a suburban 115,000 person in 26 square miles, very busy, high commerce, high call volume town. And dude, you know what? Like, you'll adjust accordingly. And you know what? I wanted to get those calls when I worked in a town that I didn't, or a department that didn't get calls for, because it was exciting to get sent to something. And then when I got all the fucking calls and I wanted to do interdiction work, it stunk, you know? So there's good and bad, but you'll adjust fine to it, man. And you could just, you know, you'll be fine. That's a small, small thing that you'll have a field trainer wherever you go to. And then, you know, you'll pick up from there. So what else?
Last thing I just wanted to say, you know, I'm spotting those good cars, like, you know, Chevy Cavaliers and, you know, it's junk cars. And I'm looking at those. Well, the other night, I stopped there's an 05 Cadillac truck, you know, it looked like it was a Chevy Avalanche, had a tag light out, and it's a nicer truck. You know, I figured, you know, it's going to be the same old thing. You know, it's just a tag light warning. I get up there, driver's suspended, and the passenger had a gun. Wow. He didn't have CCW, got him for improper handling. So it kind of boosted my confidence a little bit on that.
Yeah, you're right there, bro. Like, you're right. You're right at the door. Just be very careful. You're 21. I'm not discounting your age and your capabilities. Just be very fucking careful, dude. That's all I have to say. Motherfuckers are dangerous out there. And I don't want to see you getting hurt on a motor vehicle stop. You're obviously getting to place. You're getting to that. You're knocking on the door. You're getting to right where you need to be. And you bring up a good point. Is that everybody's convinced, right? So we're next to a little bit of an urban area where I worked, and guys make these bullshit, you know, we have dirt, you know, like, you got these crappy cars, but dude, crappy cars don't always equal. And I'm glad you learned that lesson, bro. You have to know that everybody, no matter what they are, come to my class, I show pictures of guys who are 52-year-old white dudes driving modest vehicles, Ford Tauruses that were stopped and caught with a ton of shit. Like, there's just 90 pounds of weed on a stop. Like, I had a guy, a friend of mine who was big into the drug game years ago. And we talked later on when I was a cop. And he's like, yeah, you guys go out and chase these fucking kids all day. He's like, you're missing everything, bro. He's like, we buy 100 pounds of weed from a fucking two white guys that drove down in a Chevy Blazer from upstate New York into New Jersey. So, like, that's a very good early lesson to be learned, is to stop. You have to uncondition your brain to what you think a criminal car looks like and recondition it to understand that it can be anything. And it takes some time and some discipline to understand. Like, so you're getting a taste of that. People are, when's the last time you, let me pose this to the group, when's the last time you pulled over a Mercedes-Benz SL or S550 with a guy in a suit driving the car and started posing questions? You don't, you're intimidated by it. You think that guy is some hotshot big wig, but dude, they, like, criminals know police psychology. Like, I know of a thing going on right now where there's high end cars being used to transport. Because cop, when's the last time somebody stopped a fucking Ferrari and did a criminal motor vehicle stop? You know, like, you don't, you're scared of it. When's the last time you stopped a bus and started questioning the driver because he put a duffel bag full of meth under the bus? Like, you gotta know these things, man. Like, there's just so many ways that things are being done. And when you can open your mind to understand what those things are, you're going to win. You know, you're going to win. So good lesson learned there. Any other questions? Give me your last question, because I got to go home for my wife divorces me.
No, that's fine, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, listen, man, I can't thank you enough for... I ask a lot of guys to come and go live with me, and they won't. And I got to thank you enough, bro, for saying, fuck it, I'll go live and provide value to everybody else. You're like a blood donor. Like, we all appreciate the fact that you took this time. There are so many rookie questions that everybody has. And I say that term rookie because I fucking hate that word, kind of. But you're a newer guy. You have questions. This will help a lot of people. We have like, at one point, like 74 guys watching this video live. You know, so it was, there are people watching it, dude. We'll get 2,500, 3,000 views out of an 11,000 person group in the next 2 days in this video. And dude, people will learn from this, and they'll hear these answers that you had questions to. And dude, I just want to thank you, bro. Thank you for being a part of the group. I hope I can provide you value from halfway across the country. And, man, I hope I get out to your area where we can, you know, have you come through the program, and you'll really get a real, your confidence will, I mean, you could ask anybody who comes to the class, people who come through, their confidence levels through the roof. And that's the name of the game for me. So I appreciate it, brother. It was a pleasure meeting you.
Hey, not a problem, man. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, no. Hey, so take care. Have a good night.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye-bye. guys, hopefully I provided everybody value. I think I emphasized enough how much I appreciate that. And just trying to do things to get everybody good shit. See you later.